I'm going to quickly review the first four names of God that reveals his nature to us. First, we learned about Elohim, which is his unchanging love. Then Jehovah, his righteousness and truth. Then El Shaddai, shows that he is a giver or a pourer out of himself for others. Then we studied El Elyon, though most high, he is yet of a kindred nature with us. Aren't those also beautiful? The next three names speak of his relationships to things or persons, whether in heaven or earth, or to differing ages in which he works his purposes. And of course, a relationship cannot help but show certain aspects of his nature. The name Adonai expresses two different relationships, that of a master to his slave or servant, and that of a husband to his wife. Adonai is the plural of the Hebrew word Adon, which means Lord or Master. It is not the same word Lord as refers to Jehovah, which name the Jews were careful never to pronounce. The first time we meet this word in Scripture is just after Abram had met Melchizedek. The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Encouraged by this comforting word, Abram entreats the Lord about his childless state. For the first time, he uses the words, Lord God, or Adonai Elohim, as he pleads with the Lord, who is his master, to keep his promise unto him concerning his seed. Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house, a servant, is mine heir, as Genesis 15:3. The Lord heard his cry and made a covenant with him concerning his seed, which was much greater than he had ever imagined. Again, when Abram is entreating the Lord over the judgment of Sodom, he uses the name Lord or Adonai. And Abraham answered and said, "Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? This is found in Genesis 18:27-28. Abram is making intercession on the basis of relationship, that the Lord is his master and husband. He does not use the name capital L-O-R-D, which is the name of the one speaking to him, for the capital letter Lord refers to Jehovah, who is the righteous judge. The judge has come down to judge Sodom because its sin was very grievous unto him. He honored Abraham's intercession and agreed to spare the two wicked cities if only 10 righteous could be found there. In his judgments, he remembers mercy. Adonai expressed a personal relationship which involved rights of lordship and possession. Our Father is not simply some cosmic force or benign influence somewhere out there. He shows us by his names that he is one who longs to have a personal relationship with his creation. No god among the heathen is like this. They are but spirits lording it over God's heritage to keep them in bondage. By this behavior, they reveal themselves as being opposite in nature to the true and living God. Yet how many people, like helpless sheep, have been led to the slaughter because they feared the power of some man who made himself a god over them? They knew not that their true Lord desired to know them personally and to make them like himself if they would but give him his rightful place. In olden times, the slave or wife were not their own. Both were the property of their Lord. In the slave, the relationship was binding, irrespective of his own will. In the wife, though she might be given or sold by her father, yet there was more of an element of free will. Rebecca was asked, "Wilt thou go with this man?" Yet with their will or without it, a slave or a wife stood in subjection to their Lord, where faithfulness received due honor and reward, and unfaithfulness was judged. God continually claims this title for himself, as declaring his relationship of master and husband to us. God's children have this name, Lord, Adonai, Master, husband, on their lips constantly, expressing their relationship to him and their dependence on him who is bound to sustain, to keep, and to help them. We see the contrast between the church and the world in the confession or in the denial of this name, Lord. It is clear that the church is church because it acknowledges relationship. The world is world because it denies it and acts as far as it can in independence of him who is both master and husband. The world's way is to do as it likes, think as it likes, speak as it likes without any regard to any higher will above it. It declares that it has a right to express all that it desires, whether it is evil or not. Its great ones do according to their will, Daniel 8:4. They say, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? In Psalm 12:4. The Charter of Human Rights has, in recent years, been incorporated into our Constitution in Canada. It was intended to protect people from having their rights removed from them, but it has turned into a nightmare because they have interpreted it as a right to do every evil thing. This is because the world lives as if they were their own, and they acknowledge no power but that of man. They feel that all obedience is degrading to them. They want no master or husband to own them. But God's saints all acknowledge a Lord. They all say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? They desire to please this one who has come into a personal relationship with them. They desire to do not their own will, but the will of the Lord, inasmuch as they know his will. His children know that only in his will can they find perfect rest. Haven't you found it so? They have in the world walked in self-will and found no rest there for their souls. My friend Faith has told me that when she was attending college, it was simply unacceptable to profess that there was only one true faith based on the Lord Jesus Christ. The liberal philosophy of the day has embraced all religions as being equal, and you are setting yourself up and being narrow to place the Christian religion above any other. No one wants to be a bigot, but consider this one thing. The true and living God is he who is in a personal relationship with his creation. If there is no relationship, their worship is found only in forms, rituals, laws, and ceremonies. The Lord is not in any of it, and their worship is in vain. He is a personal savior, or he is not a savior at all. The Muslims prostrating themselves toward the direction of their Mecca in honor of a dead man know no relationship with their God. They honor him not as master or husband. And so we'll deal first of all with Adonai as master. You know, whenever trouble comes, saints call upon this name for help, whether they've been aware of it or not. They know they are purchased by their Lord and belong to his household in a way that no hired servant could be. Psalm 123:2 tells us, the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters. We are inclined to look upon a slave as being beneath a hired servant who works for wages. Yet, a hired servant did not have as close a relationship to his Lord as did the purchased slave. The hired servant could not go up to the temple with his master and partake with him of the Passover, nor could he partake of the holy things of his master's house, for he was a hireling. He served for wages, and when the day was done, he went his own way. The purchased slave lived with his master, who met all of his physical needs. He had liberty to go up with his master to worship together and to partake of his holy things, so that his spiritual needs were also met. This reminds us of something Jesus said. He said that the hirelings care not for the flock. They work for wages, not for the love of the master. They exercise no loving watch care over the Lord's possessions. The mighty patriarch Abraham called himself a slave and relied on his Lord's faithfulness and power for everything. He was like the slave who refused to go out at the time of his release, but had his ear bored through to signify his love and loyalty to his master, whom he would serve all his life. He loved his master more than he did his own freedom. Just think about that. The name Adonai, or Lord, is found in the mouth of all God's servants from generation to generation. They know that their sufficiency is in the Lord. When they recognize their weakness and inability for the task set before them, they cry unto Adonai for strength and encouragement. Moses cried, O my Lord, Adonai, I am not eloquent. Joshua, when Israel was smitten at Ai, cried, O Lord, Adonai, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? And Gideon cried, O my Lord, Adonai, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. The Psalms of David continually repeat this name. O Lord, our Lord, Adonai, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. His children call upon him in virtue of relationship, because he is to them both a master and a husband. And then we find Adonai featured in the prophets. Jeremiah shrank from the burden laid upon him, even as Moses did. He answers his call with, Ah, Lord, Adonai, God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. This was no bold macho prophet here who wanted power and control. Jeremiah was timid by nature and felt unable to fulfill his call in God, just as many of us do today. Adonai touched his mouth and said, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set thee over the nations to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to build and to plant. Isaiah's vision of Adonai high and lifted up moved him to say, when all was dark around him, Here am I, send me. Ezekiel also lived in evil days when Israel was a rebellious house. The prophet was living among the captives by the river Chebar. It was there that the heavens opened and he saw visions of God. In this prophecy, the Lord repeats over and over that he is the Lord Adonai God, not of Israel only, but also of the nations around about, who have forgotten or denied that they too must be his servants. Other lords, Adonim, have had dominion over God's elect and over the world. Isaiah 26:13. In spite of this, the loving heart of God does not surrender his rightful lordship over all. For all souls are mine, he says, whether they acknowledge him or not. His message to Israel or to the nations always begins with his rightful title, the Lord Adonai God. He is both master and husband to church and world. And then we go on to see Adonai in the Gospels. It is in the Gospels that we see the truest portrayal of Adonai as master in relationship with his servants. Up until Christ came, men had fallen so deeply that all service was considered degrading and a badge of inferiority. Each man sought his own and not another's welfare. They did not have eyes to see that God served all of his creation. He fed the ravens, clothed the lilies, open his hand to satisfy the desire of every living thing. Yet they perceived it not, and men worshipped the unknown God. This relationship of master was not clearly revealed until the Lord Jesus came in the flesh. He took the form of a servant. To seal his service, he had his ear bored. We can see that in Exodus 21:6 and in Psalm 40:6. In Jesus, the Lord of all revealed himself as one that serveth. Isaiah foretold, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Isaiah 42:1. Jesus revealed the blessedness of being in subjection to our Lord and Master, who upholds and puts his spirit on us. Though we are weak and fallen, he conforms us to his blessed nature. We find that he governs well, because he serves all mankind. He causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Matthew's gospel witnesses strongly of his lordship. The disciple is not above his master. Whosoever will be chief, let him be your servant. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. He shall make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Luke 12:37. Fruitful service is approved in the parable of the talents. Whether a person was given 10 talents or only one, his faithful service was commended and slothfulness reproved. Paul, in Acts 27:23, freely confessed to his shipmates, "There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." There is blessing to be found in the service of God. When we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord, it is usually in the relationship of a servant to a master that we know him for some period of time. Some never know him in any deeper way. All of their lives they are serving their master and doing the work of the Lord. They may never know the Lord in the relationship of husband and the intimacy of which that speaks.